Because qualia have no dimension, they aren't short or tall, fast or slow, and so forth, it is entirely possible for a cold virus to occupy the same space as a billion galaxies when we are speaking of mental space. Blue has no specific home except in consciousness. You can either call it to mind or leave it be. The same is true of your vocabulary. You can call upon the word giraffe while letting the rest of your vocabulary exist in mental space, which is everywhere and nowhere. The brain is made of qualia. It has the texture of stiff oatmeal, contains miniature watery lakes, and exudes various secretions. All of these qualia also occupy the same space as a cold virus and a billion galaxies. They are all in consciousness. What we commonly refer to as outer space is just another qualia. You might protest, "Look here, my brain is inside my skull, and there's no getting around this fact." But imagine the face of someone you love. The brain produces the image in such a way that it isn't inside its tissues. No matter how hard you search, you won't find any images in the brain. So it must be true that the brain serves one function. It gives access to the mental space where all concepts, experiences, memories, images, all qualia reside. A radio gives access to a 100-piece symphony orchestra without anybody tearing it apart to see the 100 musicians hiding inside. Yet neuroscientists find it hard to stop doing the same thing. They want the brain to be the place where consciousness lives, when in reality, the brain is only the doorway to where consciousness lives. Why did consciousness need such a doorway? For the same reason that getting hit by a bus hurts or even kills you. Consciousness has the innate habit of creating things, events, experiences. This is its natural behavior. Max Planck had this in mind when he said, as we've quoted several times, "I regard consciousness as fundamental. We cannot get behind consciousness." Reality doesn't have to give an explanation for how it behaves, because it has nothing to answer to but itself. The mind as creator. This leads to a new stage of the journey in which your mind sees quite clearly that it is the maker of your personal reality and has functioned as the maker all along. In itself, this isn't a profound insight. Anyone who has fallen in love only to discover, months or years later, that their beloved is an ordinary person, knows the power of mind made reality. The real insight is to see that mind making uses no bricks or mortar, not even the finest matter, energy, time, and space, but only one thing: concepts. Take the concept of I, the separate self. The instant the mind thinks I, which is the root of all separation, the entire universe falls into line as a world apart from I. The whole setup would be hollow and boring if I saw through the illusion. So it comes up with a multitude of experiences that keep separation going. For many people, science proves that the illusion works. They are as sure of the moon and the stars as of anything in existence. It took imagination, skill, and ingenuity to send the Hubble telescope into space and investigate still farther, out there. That's a considerable upgrade of the illusion from squinting at the stars with the naked eye. But providing yourself with a better view of the illusion doesn't make it real. By the same token, in a dream where the sun is shining, does the dream become real if two suns are shining, or a dozen, a thousand, a million? Having seen that it builds reality out of nothing, The mind may pause to marvel at how amazingly convincing the state of separation is. This is what we meant about reality being infinitely flexible, allowing separation to flourish for as long as it is convincing. You could spend your entire waking life searching for new orchids, finer cuisine, more beautiful women, whatever qualia you desire. Since every experience consists of qualia, you can even tell yourself, "Relax, this is all there is." To be honest, there's a faint sadness when you see through the illusion. To know that orchids, cuisine, and the beauty of women are all mind-made creates a feeling of hollowness, for a while. The mind decides that there must be a better world elsewhere, and this new challenge defeats the sense of sadness. Like a painter throwing his palette into the garbage can, the mind decides to get rid of imaginary concepts. It's a very bold decision, because even the universe is one massive concept. Any concept leads to the state of separation. Only reality is exempt. It is not mind-made. Therefore, reality is inconceivable. To realize this fact, which means to experience it personally, not just as a nifty idea, creates a great pause. "Oh my God," you realize, "I am never going to grasp what is truly real. It lies beyond my mind, my senses, my imagination. Now what?" The great pause doesn't have to be spiritual. Although it was for Gautama, sitting under the Bodhi tree, or Jesus on the cross saying, "It is finished." The great pause can be found in the words of a scientist, including Heisenberg and Schrödinger, who suddenly sees, quite clearly, that there is only one reality, not two. There is no inner and outer, no me and you, no mind and matter, each half jealously guarding its own marked-off territory. This realization is like a pause, because the mind has stopped conceiving of reality and now starts living it.